Recording in progress.
So, welcome, councillors, members in the gallery and online, as well as staff. I declare the meeting of the 24th of May 2022 open at 6 p.m. Can I ask that we be upstanding for the council prayer? Lord, we humbly beseech thee to vouchsafe thy blessing on this council, direct and prosper its deliberations for the advancement of this area and the true welfare of its people. Amen. Please be seated. Are those in the gallery online, can you hear us? Which is Barry Mealing from the Croydon Catholic Healthcare. You can hear us. Can you wave? They can't hear us. Okay.
You can see them. Yeah, they're waving.
So no. Okay, we can see you. So, Michelle, you might just want to check that out.
We're hearing you. We've got everything turned up as loud as it can. Can you hear us?
We can hear you. Can you hear us? Can you hear us at all? Okay, Michelle, you might want to just type a message to them just so they can, and we'll put them back on mute. Sorry, it's only because they're going to be presenting, I believe, in open forum. While we're working that out, I would also like to acknowledge the Wangal people of the Eora Nation, who are the traditional custodians of this land. I would also like to pay respects to their elders, both past and present, and extend that respect to other First Nations people who may be present. Just to note that the meeting is being recorded for the purpose of assisting with the preparations of meeting minutes, and also in the effort of promoting public transparency. These recordings are subject to the provisions of the Government Information Act of 2009, and they are made available for public review via the council website. I note there is no apologies leave of absence. I do note that we have Roberto and George Alcazzi, George, our director, on online. Do I have any declarations of interest by councillors? No declarations of interest. Do I have declarations of political donations? No declarations of political donations? Okay. I don't believe there's any planning decisions, but in light of that, under Section 375A of the Local Government Act 1993, a division must be called for and taken on each planning decision made under the Environmental Planning and Assessment Act of 1979. Do I have a mover for the confirmation of the minutes of the previous meeting on the 26th of April 2022? It's been moved by Councillor Crichton, seconded by Councillor Esper. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Those against, declare that carried unanimously. So now we have a speaker. So we've got a petition that was lodged and we have open forum. There's no speakers in open forum, but there is a speaker who wants to address us on the agenda item, which I believe is the local traffic committee report, which is on page 181. And it's item 4822 is the petition, but 4/22 is the local traffic committee, and it's the second item, I believe, which is the Brighton Street item, which is on page 7 of the local traffic committee report, which is on your council papers, I believe, page 188. Now, the speaker we have is Barry Mealing or Sarita Graham. Can you hear me there? Barry? Can you hear us, Barry?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yep, we're just going to put that volume up, and I'll ask you, you've got about 3 minutes, Barry.
Thank you very much.
And please proceed.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
I'm speaking on behalf of the residents of the Brighton Retirement Village, and on behalf of the management as well. If you're not familiar with our village, we are located at 17 to 23 Croydon Avenue on part of the old Western Suburbs Hospital site, and the village is home to 83 female and 43 male retirees. Croydon Avenue, as you know, is a very busy artery for north and southbound traffic. Line of sight problems encountered by our residents and visitors were first raised with council on the 31st of December 2021. Council acted by extending the no parking sign to 5 metres below the exit onto Croydon Avenue. Further correspondence with council highlighted that a person, or some persons unknown, had removed the sign referred to above. We would like to thank council for their prompt action in putting the sign back in place. Despite the action taken by council in extending the distance, line of sight continues to be a problem for our residents and visitors, and it was suggested we need to petition council over our concerns. The petition seeking to have the trailer removed from its present position was forwarded on the 11th of April this year. Departing from village via Croydon Avenue is our most direct route to Croydon Village, including crossing a Liverpool Road. Our major concern is to be able to safely enter into Croydon Avenue and at the same time ensure the safety of other road users. The trailer interferes with our line of sight. The trailer has a curbside wheels parked up on the curb but still protrudes into the thoroughfare. It has been noticed that from time to time northbound traffic has had to give way for southbound due to narrowing of the road width due to the trailer protruding beyond the white line. Management has taken action to improve our sight line by removing trees planted on the verge, allowing a better view of oncoming traffic further back towards the south. The village bus driver has concerns being higher up than the standard vehicle. Vision is blocked by the trailer when departing from the village. Residents also witness that cars speed up past this point to get through the lights. What we seek is to be able to safely enter Croydon Avenue with good vision of oncoming traffic. I would strongly emphasise, and I must emphasise, that we are not seeking to have any changes made to the existing parking areas, in no way, which are provided for all residents, including those here in the area. What we are seeking is for the trailer to be removed from its present position to free up our line of sight, as it was only after the trailer was moved from the eastern side of Croydon Avenue that the problems have occurred. As with other road users, safety is always a prime concern for us at the Brighton. It is also a concern, I think, for everyone in the area. Now, with your permission, we have some photos that we'd like to put up on the screen.
I might not be able to get those. I'm working on two different programs here. I'm really sorry. I don't have them on my personal laptop, and if I try and access my work on this laptop, I may lose you. But you do have photos, I believe, that do show the tyres protruding and the line of sight that we do struggle with. So I'm really sorry I can't provide those.
Could I please... Do I have time? If I have time, could I please add that the village management took action to remove some trees along Croydon Avenue so that our line of sight improved further down so that we could leave this place safely.
Mm-hmm.
The main concern is that the trailer blocks our view. It was moved from the other side. We are not seeking to change the parking. We just wish to have a good, safe exit to this village. And I thank you for allowing us to speak.
Thank you, Barry, and thank you to all the members and residents of the village there for presenting to council. In light of that, we've got no other speakers. While we have the residents online in watching this meeting, can I suggest that we... change the order of business to bring forward the Bellwood Local Traffic Committee May 2022 report item RC4/22 as the first item on the agenda. It's been moved by Councillor Crichton, seconded by Councillor Manner. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, those against, declare that carried. Now, Councillor Crichton, you had a motion.
I do. Thank you. And good evening to the residents over there in Brighton Catholic Healthcare. Good evening. I do have an amendment or a different recommendation, and that is, and I will read it slowly so our staff can get
so
it.
Councillor, there's two items on the report. First one being Hextile Street, which is as per the recommendation, and the second one, which is recommending to not proceed with any changes, you're asking for an amendment.
An amendment, that's correct, for Croydon Avenue, Croydon, so review of the parking. So, and I would like to move that this matter be deferred and referred back to the General Manager for further investigation to improve the sight lines exiting Brighton Catholic Healthcare on Brighton Street and to investigate the possibility of including speed calming cushions in this location.
Sorry, can I just correct you?
We are in a council meeting, so it's to investigate, it's to defer and investigate, so you can put further submission. I'll explain why. Do I have a seconder?
I'll second that.
Okay, so it's been seconded. Do I have speakers?
Can I propose an additional amendment?
Councillor Kutcher?
Thank you, Mayor. And that would be to include in that investigation the possibility of including Burwood as a declared area under the boat trailer impounding provisions of the Impounding Act 1993.
Will that deal with trailers as well like this?
Well, that's the investigation, but I would expect it to. I'd hope it would, but it's that's a question for the General Manager to explore, I gather.
Okay. But I've got no issues with that. So I'll just quickly speak, just for the residents in Catholic Healthcare there, Council is supportive of your concerns. The issue we have is legally at the moment we can't move the trailer. So legally we don't have the powers to move the trailer because it's a registered trailer. So there's two or three options that we have, and I'm happy to come out and meet with yourselves and bring the General Manager and our traffic people there to work through some solutions. So one, the easiest way to possibly move it is to push it down. By pushing it down, we can increase the sight lines, which is what's been proposed by Councillor Crichton, which is to increase the sight lines, the no stopping area or no parking area, which means that that whoever owns the trailer can't park it there. The council has made a number of requests to the owners of the trailer to actually move the trailer. They have declined to. The trailer has also been infringed, so it has been fined for parking up on the curb, I believe. So they're the two issues. So legally, we can't just go and tell the owner you have to move your trailer because technically under the state law, they are parked legally. So the option is that we either, and the other option is, and this is why we're deferring it so we can get further recommendations, because you have to remember this is a local traffic committee where the RMS, the police and so forth have also committee members that make the recommendation to council. So what council is saying is we're not accepting a do-nothing approach. We're supporting the residents of Catholic Healthcare to exit safely onto Croydon Avenue in a safe manner. So we've just got to work through it legally. I apologise that it's taking longer than normal. It's just unfortunate this is the process we need to go through. The other issue is there might be the option to look at keeping the car spot there and possibly putting a time limit on it, which then forces the trailer to have to move. There's also the option, as one of the councillor just suggested in the amendment, that we investigate, what was it, Councillor Kutcher, the boat...
It's a boat trailer impounding...
The Boat Trailer and Impounding Act, if we can take any enforcement under that. So we're going to look at that. And the other option is, which I believe some of the people at your Catholic Healthcare had suggested, maybe some possible speed cushions or some form of speed calming device as you get towards your exit point to make other cars slow down so you have enough time to exit and enter. That's not suggesting that we will do that. It's something we may investigate and consult with yourselves.
So, thank you very much.
Councillor Manor, you had a right of reply.
Yeah.
You wish to speak as well?
Yeah. My question is, is that there all the time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week?
Yeah, there's a bit of a history here. We have... Michelle, I just need you to mute that, please. Michelle, can I just...
Mute them.
May I say that that trailer has been there since December 31 when we first raised this issue with council.
So in saying that, there's a bit of a history. There's obviously a couple of residents around that dates back to, I think, early 2000s, who were very much opposed to Catholic Healthcare Centre there. And council has tried to work with the owner of the trailer to suggest relocating the trailer. They're declining to do that. There's also another resident there that parks numerous cars, put covers on them, no rego, things like that. So it's in a way, I think they do it to actually, in spite of the residents living at Catholic Healthcare, to give them a hard time. And I think councils, you know, we've just got to work out how we send a clear message that if you're going to do things out of it. We tried to work with the trailer owner first to move it. They're not going to move it. So now we've got to look at what legal avenues we take. At the end of the day, if it means we have to increase the no stopping or the no parking, you could do a section of no parking, which will allow people to be dropped off, but you can't park there. If we need to increase that space and the residents lose an extra car spot, then it's their fault because we've tried to work with them. So we've given them every opportunity. If they're not going to compromise and make some changes or relocate the trailer, then we will have to delete that car spot to give the residents of Catholic Healthcare the opportunity to exit in a safe manner. And that's very important because the last thing we need is somebody trying to exit there and you totally can't see, I've been out there myself, gets cleaned up by another car, which will be tragic. So you're right to reply, Councillor Crichton.
Thank you. I just welcome the investigation and I look forward to the officer's report back to council and sooner rather than later. Thank you.
Can I suggest that we have we put a date on there so at least it comes back to the next council meeting?
Sure. Yes, certainly. I'm happy with that. Thank you.
Sorry, moved and seconded by Councillor, was it Manor? Speakers against? I put the motion. All those in favour? Those against, I declare that carried unanimously. Thank you, members of Catholic Healthcare, for coming on board and having your say. So we will update you as the investigation happens, and we're hoping to get a report back up to the next council meeting. The next item is item 37/22, which is the draft library strategic plan. I have a mover. Moved by Councillor Esper, seconded by Councillor Manor. Do I have any questions? Speakers? For? Against? Put the motion. All those in favour? Those against, declare that carried unanimously. 38/22, which is the Multicultural Advisory Committee, revised terms of reference. Be moved by Councillor Crichton, seconded by Councillor Manor. Questions? Speakers? For? Against? Put the motion. All those in favour? Those against, declare that carried unanimously. Item 39/22, been moved by Councillor Manor, seconded by Councillor Kutcher, with an amendment that you be the council delegate. Is that what you are requesting? Yeah. Are you happy to accept that amendment?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so that will go out for expressions of interest. Any questions? Speakers for, against, put the motion. All those in favour, those against, declare that carried unanimously. Item 40/22, which is the draft code of meeting practice, being moved by Councillor Esper, seconded by Councillor Manor. Questions? Questions? Councillor Robinson?
Yeah, my only question is just about the removal of questions without notice. Just want an answer from the, I guess this question about notice. Question about what exactly that looks like. My only reservation is I feel like any sort of mechanism that's removed from allowing councillors to ask questions without that 6-week period, I think is a bit of a damaging indictment on transparency.
What page?
It is on page 63. There's a part within the model where it basically says that references to question without notice, which is a borough-specific provision that is inconsistent with the model code, will be removed. I just would like clarification around that, please.
Okay. And General Manager?
No, thanks. Thanks to you, Mr. Mayor. My last tenure to help me out on this one, but the previous provisions that we had in our current meeting practice were specific to Burwood. They were a bit unusual in relation to the questions without notice. So with this revision, we're trying to bring our current meeting practice in line with what the model says. And typically, it refers to the questions on notice, right, which should be submitted to my office or myself to then be reported at the first available council meeting.
Right, okay.
So the mechanics of it would be that in between the one meeting and the next one, if there are any questions that arise that you would like the answer for to be tabled at the following council meeting, you would then submit it to me. I would provide you with an answer in the interim, and then it will be formalised by actually putting your question and the response at the next council meeting or the first available council meeting.
So can I just clarify, so is the current system changing or no?
No, since this council came together, we've adopted that model, which is the correct way of operating under the model code of meeting practice.
So just for my own benefit, if I'm not getting it correct, what exactly changes once we adopt this model compared to how we've already been operating? Like, is there anything that we currently been doing that we just can't do anymore?
I think historically, just to give you, there used to be a section in the agenda which was called questions without notice, which meant that at the end of the meeting you'd hand up to the chair three questions, I would read them out, and then we would table them, and if the council staff could answer them, then they would answer. If they couldn't, they would take it on notice. From what I understand, it's been changed, which I think it's been a year now, more, 2 years. So I'm surprised that came up. Maybe they just haven't updated the policy. Because we adopted the model code of conduct, it now means that you submit your questions in writing and then you actually get your answers tabled back at the next meeting. So you've actually asked a formal question and it's tabled, whereas before it wasn't tabled in the meeting. So from what you've experienced, no, nothing changes from what I understand.
Okay, cool. So just to clarify, so the questions that we ask during, you know, whenever there's a proposal of anything, that can still be answered. It's not going to be a big overhaul of how this runs. Okay.
So any questions that you might have in between meetings or on a daily basis, if it's just a query you have for us and the officers myself and you like that answered, we will just operate as we have in the last few months. If there's something then you would then have tabled at a council meeting, it would be good if you said, you know, this would be a question on notice that I would like answered formally at the first available council meeting, and then we would do it that way with our report.
Thanks for answering my question.
So just on that, why is it then only now we're updating, considering we've been operating for the last 2 years without this questions without notice. Why is it only now we've updated this policy, Tony?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, if I may respond to that. Yeah. That clause actually was not a legitimate clause in the eyes of the Office of Local Government. It is inconsistent with the model code.
And I understand that, but why only now?
Well, I understand that we were working towards getting to that point, and this was the opportunity to make that change. A couple of other points, if I may explain.
Because we changed, sorry, just on that, to clarify, we changed this in the previous council term.
Yeah. We changed our ways.
Yeah, okay. So it just means we hadn't updated the policy. Is that correct?
Okay. And so this is now the opportunity to correct that. And for those councillors who were serving on the previous term of council may remember some of the briefing sessions that have been provided on the Code of Meeting Practice. It's been mentioned on several occasions that that clause had no lawful standing. Now, the principle behind having
questions without notice... I think we got the point.
Yes. I might just introducing new items of business to the meeting of the council.
Okay, understood. I think we'll just leave it there in case, because I think Councillor Kutcher's got another question.
Yeah, I just had another question then about the timing. So we're required to submit a question on notice 2 weeks prior to the council meeting. Is there scope for, and would it be consistent with the model code for that deadline to be shifted, because things will come up. That means if we don't get a question on notice in within that deadline, it could be 6 weeks before we get a public response to a query. So I'm just wondering, is that something that we can look into here? Is there scope to change that? Would that be consistent with the model code?
I might just
Well, I think we've got to be mindful of the timing that we require for the preparation of the business paper. So the 2 weeks is usually to give us time to reflect on the question provided us. And then, we release the papers, on the Wednesday or Thursday before the Tuesday. And that means the officers have to have everything prepared the week before, and that makes the 2 weeks. If it's an easy answer, we'll definitely do that, even if it's a last-minute one. But some more complex queries that require a little bit more investigation might be pushed out. Having said that, the commitment from us as the executive and officers is always to do the investigation and provide the answer to you as a councillor or you councillors directly in the interim, and then the report itself might then come to the following meeting. But we'll always endeavour to give you the answers as quickly as we can.
Oh, I always thought the previous way we had it was so much easier. and it worked. So I don't know. I understand we're moving to this model code, but it doesn't necessarily mean everything is correct. Is there no reason why we couldn't have questions without notice based on the specific? And I've probably asked this before, Tanya. I know it's to allow the staff time to prepare a response. I just think it's sometimes you might be coming to a meeting and you'll get a question from a resident and you'll raise it at the meeting. But in saying that, I can understand then your response was, well, you could ask us a question at any time via email. Fair enough. But anyway, Councillor Hull.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just have a couple of quick questions. Just on page 63 there, a sub-point 3 towards the top of the page refers to information items being discontinued from the agenda and instead those items that are marked receive a note will be voted on by councillors at each meeting. Is that, am I interpreting that correctly?
General Manager?
Yeah, and again, I'll ask Senator to support this, but it's just to ensure whilst some items that you will have on your agenda are to simply for information, just the vote on them, we believe, just will give it a little bit more awareness, if you like, raise a little bit more awareness on the information that's contained in there. And it's just a confirmation that you as council have actually read and noted what...
Is that part of the model code as well, or is that board specific?
If I may respond to you, Mr. Mayor, that is considered better practice because it demonstrates that councillors have read and considered and accept that information. And voting is also recorded, so if there are any questions, citizens can see that there's more transparency and accountability around what goes to a council meeting. If it's something that's simply provided as information, there are other means of providing information to you. These are matters which are considered sufficiently important to be brought before a meeting of the council. Therefore, in each respect, we should have some sort of resolution of council, with the bare minimum being receiving and noting.
Is that what they're doing at other councils? With, like, you've got the Safe and Clean Team performance report, which used to be an information item, and now you've got us to receive and note it. I don't see how that changes the practice, that's all. It's just another item we're dealing with. No, it's just going to lead to more questions.
Yeah, well, I suppose I think the intent, maybe, Mr. Mayor, behind it is to probably streamline and simplify some of the purely information items that I might circulate.
But that is a pure information
item. Via councillor memos, we might, push some of these. Like the Safe and Clean, for example, I can't see why it shouldn't be.
Oh, don't worry. I'll have a lot of questions about Safe and Clean because it's opening the opportunity. I'm talking about myself. my issue is, technically, is it a reporting of an info item, which is what it started as, and now it's becoming a adoption. It's going to just grow and evolve.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. The principle here is that council meetings are decision-making forums. Therefore, everything put before council should reflect.
This is not a decision. This is not a decision. And if you go back 20 years...
I reiterate my point. The forum of council meetings is a decision-making one, that its principal purpose is not simply just an information-sharing forum. There are other opportunities such as workshops, briefings, online portals, circulars, emails, and various other things.
Point taken.
Sorry.
Councillor Holt.
So I just have one other question. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
We diverted.
I have one other question. Retaining the item of prayer is also note another point that was made on that on page 63, and I see it's highlighted in blue on page 79 at item paragraph 8.1, together with two other items there. I take it from that Burwood is adopting its own code of conduct or is adopting its own form of the model code of conduct, whereas the items in or that particular item is being removed from the model code of conduct. Am I correct in stating that?
Through you, Mr. Chair. The model code of meeting practice leaves that matter open for councils to decide. Many councils choose not to have any sort of prayer. Sometimes they have a moment of reflection and others simply proceed with the meeting without any such matter on the agenda. So that is something which is acceptable in conjunction with the provisions of the core provisions of the model code.
Council wishes to take a different approach and
have a prayer or not have a prayer. They are perfectly entitled, could have a moment of reflection or not.
I just wanted to personally reflect that is an item I would personally recommend to retain in the Burwood Code of Conduct and on our agendas.
It's not suggesting not to remove it.
It's okay.
Any other questions? Councillor Crichton.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd just like to raise the issue of agenda and business papers for ordinary meetings. Does this draft code of meeting practice afford Burwood an opportunity to actually refresh our meeting papers, which I find at times are a little difficult, particularly the initial pages, which are copied over month by month, but some of the language in there I think could be modernised. In item 10, this evening we've got open forum vents addresses by the public. There's a lot of old language, I think, still, and it always concerns me every time I receive the papers each month. Our mission on the front, I don't think that is actually our mission for Build Council. I think all those initial pages need a revamp, perhaps not so much italics either. And I note that some neighbouring councils actually have a diagram of the councils where we're all seated, the council laws and the mayor, which may be useful for people viewing us online or obviously tonight they could see us, couldn't they? The people at Croydon, our residents could see us. So as we move towards more of that technology, I think just to make it easier for people, really, to participate.
Question. I'll let you make those suggestions when we're speaking.
Thank you.
Question?
Just is the actual meeting paper, the look and feel of it, up for review as well? That's my question.
Tanya?
Councillor Crichton will be delighted to know that we actually have already done some work in that space, and refreshing of the code of meeting practice will help clear the way for us to do that. I think we did mention something in the report about doing some recalibrating of the software that we use to produce the business papers, but those suggestions you've made, Councillor Crichton, have been incorporated into a prototype that we developed recently, so we'd be very happy to workshop that with the councillors.
My other quick question, I guess, just before we get into debate, is page 75, which is meeting held by audio visual link. So I believe the government now, when's that being introduced, is no longer allowing audio visual meetings or virtual meetings?
Mr. Mayor, that provision under the COVID arrangements is due to expire at the end of June, which is why we have also put forward this code of meeting practice so that we could accommodate council's decision to have that as an ongoing feature, because if we don't incorporate it in the new code of meeting practice, that option lapses automatically at the end of June, and we've been told by the Office of Local Government that the option which is in the model code may drop off. I don't understand why that might happen. I would think that an incoming council after the next election that we have might see things differently if a current council has determined that it would like to have everybody resume meeting face to face, which is what the default position is currently under the Local Government Act. So
it just means under the new model code, if a councillor can't attend because they're feeling possibly like, I know we've got one of our directors tonight.
Yes, and that recommendation is an option. If you look at the model code of meeting practice, you will see there are a number of areas which are options, and it's an either or, and this is an either or example.
Okay, so my question is, they would have to, just to highlight to the councillors, they would have to seek approval and then we would have to resolve it, which is a bit...
That is correct. So if this was to come into play, what would happen is that a councillor would be accommodated with a online link, as we're currently doing or have done in the past, and then councillors would make
grounds,
the determination.
So on what grounds would you have to not approve a councillor being in attendance via a Zoom? But technically, it could be open up to some form of allowing, the gerrymander of the numbers of the council for voting, if you knock a councillor out, which is, I think, undemocratic.
If I may respond, Mr. Mayor, yes, there is that possibility, and that concern was raised when a discussion paper was circulated on this topic last year, but the Office of Local Government have pressed on with this provision. So if we don't accept what's in the model code of meeting practice to cover that contingency, then it's nothing, and that means council then is obliged to meet only face-to-face.
Understood, okay. I just think but you'd really have to put some type of safety nets in. In Councillor Kutcher, you had a question?
Well, just to follow on from that, Mr. Mayor, could we as a council, make such a resolution, a policy that that sets out the parameters or the circumstances in which we'd make a decision of that kind?
I'll refer it to the GM, but I don't think we can, because it's a model code. You can't sort of...
But the question is,
could we have a policy
that's always allowed?
No, that well, could we have sort of our own policy where you set criteria for why you would approve or not approve in our own model? Okay. Maybe seek clarification from the department.
I think we could follow that up with the Office of Local Government.
My only comment is I think the legislation is probably not keeping up with the times. I mean, the pandemic has accelerated this discussion. It was always being reviewed as an option, the remote attendance, and obviously the pandemic has accelerated the testing, and I believe personally that's been quite successful. So I think over time this will continue to evolve to probably allow a lot more flexibility than what we're experiencing right now.
Any other questions? So there was, who was the mover, sorry? It's been moved by, it was moved by the Deputy Mayor and seconded by Councillor Esper. Speakers for, against, put the motion, all those in favour. Those against, I declare that carried unanimous. Item 41/42, which is Local Government Remuneration Tribunal. It's been moved by Councillor Esper, seconded by Councillor Manner. Questions? Speakers for, against, which I believe the recommendation was to set at the maximum fee. I'll put the motion, all those in favour. Those against, declare that carried unanimously. Superannuation for councillors, 42/22, moved by Councillor Crichton, seconded by Councillor Kutcher. Speakers, questions? Put the motion, all those in favour. Those against, declare that carried unanimously. 43/22, which is the draft councillors' expenses facilities. I believe Councillor Manor had, is moving with an amendment or a deferral?
No, I'm going to suggest some corrections and amendments.
Okay.
And move
so it's
on.
Been moved by Councillor Manor. I'll just get a seconder. Councillor Esper, your motion and amendments, Councillor.
So if we can go to the summary page on page, when was it? Page 129.
Yep.
It gives us an outline of all the actual figures. They don't correspond with the figures in some of the figures, let's say page 134, where it says interstate overseas, it says 10K here for all councillors. On one page 34, it says 7.
So, Councillor, can I just clarify, are you amending or are you deferring?
No, I'm amending.
Okay, so your amendments, please.
So I would amend that to page 134.
So 129, where the figures have listed, for example, for professional development says 5,300, but on page 35, when it refers to that section, it says 5,000.
Correct.
So you're saying that they...
So amend that to go in line with the summary 5.3. So there's 5 on page 135.
Can I just stop you there for a sec?
Yeah.
There's a number of those inconsistencies in this report that's been picked up. Would it be better to possibly raise the issues that the councillor has, to bring it back to the next meeting, or is it better to defer it to amend them and fix them here? Like
I acknowledge and apologise for some of the mistakes and corresponding. Some of the amounts have obviously been changed in the current one to reflect obviously a CPI or whatever increase. If the councillors are happy to progress the policy and with us committing to reflecting the most current amounts and so, correct them.
So can I just do it quite like a bit quick and correct me if I'm wrong, Councillor? So on page 129, 5,300 should be 5,300 for professional development, which is in the body of the report. Conferences and seminar is 8,000, is that correct? Which is on page 134, it suggests 7,000.
No, interstate overseas are wrong. Page 134, 10,000, it says 7,000.
Where does it say that? It says 7 on that.
It says 7 on
that. Sorry, am I right, Michelle, in saying that the table is the most current and correct one?
That top one, which should say for each council, instead of the total.
Oh, instead of for all councillors, it should say for each councillor. But the amounts in the table, are they correct, the most current ones? And we need to change it.
Well, you've got to update the report. So the conferences and seminars is 8,000 on the table, but in the report it says 7,000. Where does it say 10, Councillor? I can't find it.
Interstate.
Interstate. One on page.
Oh, okay, sorry.
34.
Yeah, so that's increased to 10 as opposed to
8. Yes.
It says 7.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Should be 10.
Okay, so they'll update those. Then the other update was with the councillor's iPhone and accessories to be 2,500 in line with, like, the mayor's.
With the mayor's, correct. And also,
there was a section on the reporting which sort of delved into
privacy. So what happens is there's a first paragraph says, council report on provisions of expenses of facilities
to councillors as required by the Act and regulations. This includes providing a statement of total payment of expenses and provisions of facilities for councillors in the annual report, including, I've crossed that out, including separate details for. And I would recommend that it says including costs for, because if we go separate detail of telephone calls, that means they list all the calls. I think this is all about costs, payment and of expenses.
The current procedure, I believe, does that, but the way this reads makes it look like they will list itemised calls, which affects privacy, yeah. I think is the issue.
So
there's a wording change to including
costs for, take away separate details.
Okay. And then there was 10.3 where you had a ish, rather than claim within the 3 months, it used to be within a financial year. You want to maintain that?
Correct, within the financial year. Yeah.
Any other questions?
Yes.
Councillor?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Can we just be clear in the summary page, the column which is titled frequency, is that per calendar year or financial year?
Sorry, what page is that?
129.
129.
Yep. So are we talking about each calendar year or financial year when we for the claiming period? I'm okay. Thinking it's financial year, but I'm not sure.
I think it's per year, as in per financial year.
Can we say that then?
Okay, frequency. You might just want to put in brackets financial year. Any other questions?
No.
So that was moved by Councillor Manor. It was seconded by Councillor Espar. Is that right? With those changes. Did you get those changes? Was there anything else, councillors? This is to go on exhibition, is that correct?
Yep.
This is the other policy attached.
My question, I might just leave this as a question, is I think with the ICT, is it ICT expenses? I think there should be the opportunity where councillors are either given a laptop or given the iPad. I don't think you should. I don't know if it's something for councillors to think about, and we might do it in a future upgrade. I don't know why you would have both. I think under the policy, it would technically allow you to have both. You can either use the iPad, which is that it there, councillor? Is that it there? Do you find that easier to use from some feedback? Like, what's the feedback of councillors, or would you prefer the actual laptop?
I find it personally easier, but that's just me.
I prefer a laptop.
Yeah, you have IT issues, but you're a lot greyer than us. Sorry, all due respect. Councillor Cutcher, you wanted some feedback.
Given the volume of the files that we're downloading and sort of looking at from time to time, a laptop would actually be something a bit more powerful.
Do you think both would work? Like, would you use both if you had both or not?
I'd use one or the other.
Okay.
So
having that option, and maybe that's something in the new term where you've got this policy and then we might add a section in there. So just in your recommendation, maybe we put in there that we allow the option of either a laptop or a iPad.
I'm happy with that.
Now, I know Fab's looking at me because I think the reason they prefer the iPads is because they're controlled better by our systems, which allows us better security from an IT. But surely we can look into the system. There's no reason why the laptop couldn't. They're both Apple products, for example. There's no reason why they couldn't. work on the same platform, but I'm not sure. We'll look into that. You looked at me before, Councillor Hull. Did you want to add something?
Well, I personally prefer the laptop myself, but you know, I'm happy with either.
No, thanks for the feedback.
One other question.
Sorry. Yes, Councillor.
With the just wanted to confirm with the legal assistance on page 149.
Yes.
So it's my understanding that if there is a legal issue and you need representation, you've got to pay for it from your own pocket first before you get reimbursed from council.
I believe that's usually how it works. Or you may submit. It doesn't actually get paid by council. It gets paid by our insurer.
So
you've got like a personal indemnity insurance that our insurer pays for. So, for example, if someone came and wanted to sue you because you said something and you need legal representation, whether you got asked to go in front of an investigative body, that type of stuff, it gets paid by our insurer.
Is there a limit to what is allowed?
It's like $250,000 or something like that, I think, from memory. Not sure. Can't remember. We can look into that.
Yeah.
Any other suggestions or feedback on... But anyway, we can talk about that. So it's been moved by Councillor Manor, I believe, and was seconded by Councillor Esper. Was that right? I'll put speakers for, against. Put the motion. All those in favour? Those against, declare that carried with those changes. Item 44/22, which is the request for sponsorship TVB Anywhere Moon Festival. Just to highlight, that's actually a sponsorship in kind, so we're not actually giving them funding. Do I have a mover? Moved by Councillor Crichton, seconded by Councillor Manor. Speakers for? Questions? Questions, speakers.
Can I ask you
a question, Councillor Kutcher?
Yeah. I just felt that I didn't have the kind of information that I would have hoped to see in the report around, I guess, the financial implications of running this festival or participating in this festival. So my questions are: are members of the public paying any admission fees, and stall holders paying any stall hire fees, and if there are such fees being paid to the festival holder, what's the sort of revenue that they've brought in through these festivals in the past? So if we get that kind of information, then I can get a good sense of why we would need to subsidise this festival in this way. I mean, it sounds like a really great festival, really important festival. Just a question that would help me to understand why we would subsidise them through these kinds of fee waivers, particularly when we're in, it's obviously precarious times for us all financially. So I just wonder if there's any information that can be provided along those lines.
I'm just forward to the General Manager.
I'll attempt an answer, and then I'll probably ask Brooke to help me out. So I think the first question is no. So the event is free. From what I've experienced it myself many years, it's free for everybody. In relation to fees for stallholders, I would assume that they might be charging some nominal amounts, probably to recover the cost of the hire itself. I'm not entirely sure, but that probably wouldn't cover the entire cost of the event, because from memory, it's a fairly large event that covers the whole park. I don't know if, Brooke, you want to add, or you've got more details.
I'd just further add to that. So there's 50 stalls that they are having, and there are fees. I don't have their pricing structure on me, but we can certainly obtain that. A general comment is that it's almost impossible to operate a community festival and break even, let alone operate at a profit. And the other sort of information I'll probably supply is that there's two key events that we deliver annually. That is the Moon Festival, which is this event, and Lunar New Year. Typically, we partner. So in the case of the Moon Festival, we partner with TVB Anywhere. In terms of Lunar New Year, we partner with an another group called New Impressions. The reason why we partner is it's very difficult for council to replicate and deliver a traditional festival that has a whole range of cultural nuances. And so this is a really effective way for us to deliver and by partnering rather than the costs involved in council delivering such a festival be far beyond the 11,000 that's proposed here. So that's a further sort of just note, but we can certainly obtain the fee structure that they provide, but I would say that they'd be not operating at a profit for a community event.
Just a follow-up question then, if there's 50 stalls, are any of those stalls set aside, or could they be set aside, for community groups who would be able to access them without having to pay or paying a nominal fee, so that there is genuine community involvement and engagement in the festival? Does that happen, or could that happen?
I believe they have some, but Brooke would know more.
Yeah, so through you, Mr. Mayor, there's always a presence of local community organisations, including a council stall. For us, it's a really key event to actually engage with members of the community that we may not otherwise reach. We could go back as part of our sponsorship agreement. So they've put forward the proposal, which is included in your business paper, and we could negotiate an outcome where there's a reduced community rate. So I couldn't answer on the spot, but we can certainly go back and put in and make sure that there's community representation locally in the stallholders. Yep.
Could I move that as an amendment to the motion, please, Mr. Mayor?
Yep. Can I suggest that? So, sorry, who did you have a question?
No.
Okay, so who was it? It was moved by the Deputy Mayor. Oh, sorry, Councillor Crichton. And who seconded? Did you second with an amendment?
Yes,
sir. Okay. So your amendment is that, would I be right in saying that council, so part two, part two, council also investigate with the organiser a reduced rate which would be reflective of, help me out, a community rate?
Could we say reduced rate or waiver?
Or waiver.
Of fees for local community groups.
Yep, reduced rate or waiver for community groups interested in occupying a stall. Yep. Happy with that? You happy with that, Councillor?
Yeah.
Any other questions? Speakers? Put the motion. All those in favour?
Aye.
Those against, declare that carried unanimously. 45/22, which is the budget review for quarter ending 31st of March, which I believe is on page 171. Oh, sorry, 159. And there's a recommendation on page 170. I have a move. It's been moved by Councillor Espar, seconded by Councillor Manor. Questions? Put the motion. All those in favour? Those against? Declare that carried unanimously. 46/22, which is the investment report as of the 30th of April 2022, 171. Been moved by Councillor Manor, seconded by Councillor Espar. Questions? Recommendation there on page 177. Put the motion. All those in favour? Those against? Declare that carried unanimously. 47/22, which is 176, which is the safe and clean team. The report be received and noted. It's been moved by Councillor Espar, seconded by Councillor Manor. Put the motion. All those in favour, those against, declare that carried. Petitions, receive and note, again, the recommendation. 178, it's been moved by Councillor Crichton, seconded by Councillor Kutcher. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, those against, declare that carried unanimously. And 49/22, which is again to receive and note the questions without notice report, been moved by Councillor Espar, seconded by Councillor Kutcher. Put the motion. All those in favour? Those against, we declare that carried unanimously. Now we've got a motion from Councillor Crichton, seconded by Councillor Kutcher, to go into closed session to deal with the electricity supply agreement, which is a confidential item. And the reason is it be considered in closed session to the exclusion of the press and public in accordance with Section 10A2CD of the Local Government Act 1993. As the matter involves information that would, if disclosed, confer a commercial advantage on a person with whom the council is conducting or proposes to conduct business. Any objections from the gallery? Michaela, you're objecting, eh? No. Only kidding. Right. There being no objections, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Those against, I declare that carried unanimously. Now, that's the confidential item, so recording again. I might just hand over to the general manager.
Recording in progress.
To read the resolution.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. In relation to item 50/22, Council resolved to provide the general manager with the authority to negotiate the final terms of the contract for electricity supply, as recommended in the report of 24 May 2022.
And there being no further business, I note that the meeting has been closed at 13 minutes past 7. And I believe there's dinner being served. Some dinner, I think. Thanks, councillors, for your attendance and to staff.